Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back. I'm so excited for this episode because you know so much of what I love to talk to you about and teach you about and bring guests onto the podcast about is really becoming the best versions of ourselves, right? And I know we talk about that and, you know, oh yeah, of course you want to be the best version of yourself, but really, how do you do that? And today's guest is someone who is helping people to do just that. Her name is Julia Arndt, and she's the founder of the Peak Performance Method, PPM. It's a unique model combining critical productivity, mindfulness, and leadership tools to help forward-thinking people develop their next superpower. Like, how amazing is that? And Julia is originally from Germany. You know, I have a German degree, so I love that. She's lived in 5 countries all over the last 14 years. She was at Google. And now, because of the successful thing she launched at Google, she's now successfully on her own. So Julia, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Bella. I'm very, very excited to be here.
Awesome. Let's jump right in and tell us, how did you start doing this work?
Yeah, I burned out is the short answer in the summer of 2018. And leading up to the burnout, I started to invest more in my personal development. I started listening to podcasts. I started to listen to audiobooks on my commute. And I started to ask myself a lot of big questions. And it was really interesting how then at the same time, I didn't realize that I was kind of exploiting my body and I was very burned out. And so I went on a medical leave for 3 months in order to figure out what am I going to do next? Because the work that I was doing at the time didn't really feel fulfilling anymore. And I really wanted to live full time in Lake Tahoe, which in 2019, 2018 was not possible. Now everything is more hybrid or fully remote, but at the time it wasn't really that way. And so I really asked myself some really big life questions around what do I want to do? It was really difficult to make the decision to leave Google. And at the same time, I heard this like bigger calling around. I burned out. I felt really lonely in the process. And I wish I would have had the person that I'm trying to represent today for the people that are going through the same things. So I decided to start my own business. I started a podcast in 2019 as well. And yeah, and that's kind of where it all started.
That's amazing. So you were burned out and put together your own protocol for yourself that got you healed, healthy, happy. And so, you know, you've got some great material. So why don't you tell us, you know, specifically, you say that there's 3 simple questions that someone can ask themselves about a situation. And I'm guessing you had a conversation with yourself using these 3 questions. So let's talk about these 3 critical questions to assess what should you be doing with your life?
Yeah. There are 3 very simple questions or 3 simple things you can ask yourself if you are finding yourself in a situation where you don't really know what to do next. And the very 3 simple questions are love it, leave it, or change it. And I've actually heard that in a podcast before myself, and it deeply, deeply resonated with me because sometimes we struggle so much with making a decision or knowing what's next. And so love it, leave it, or change it is really simply that reminder that you have the power to make your own decisions and to make the choices that are aligned with who you are as a person. And I know that's oftentimes easy to say and harder to put into practice, but let's break it down into these really three simple things, right? So love it, very clear. So if you are in a situation and maybe you've been feeling a little frustrated or overwhelmed, right? Ask yourself, do I love this? Do I leave it or do I change it? And maybe the answer is you love it. You actually love the work that you do, or you love the person that you're with. Maybe not your single listeners. Maybe they are not with somebody at this point, but love it is sometimes we have to kind of go back to the roots and remind ourselves why we have been in certain places. So love it is powerful. Leave it at the time, you know, for me, when I was going through these big professional questions around what do I do next? I've been at this company for 7.5 years. I get a great salary and great benefits and everything on the outside seems so perfect. But do I love it? I didn't love it anymore. So I tried to change it actually for a very long period of time. So that's kind of that third question. I tried to change it. I tried to look for other roles within the company. I tried to look for teams that were offering remote positions. I was looking for other companies outside of the company. I was thinking about starting my own business, but it was a really scary decision. So even though we can break it down to these three simple questions, sometimes the answer itself might take a while to get to us, or we might need some courage and some time right. to just sit with it, right? And then over at the end of the day, I had to be really honest with myself because it affected my physical and psychological health so much that there was only one option left, which was leave it. And so I left the job and it was very difficult at the time. And today I know it was the best decision I could ever make for myself.
And that's so interesting. It's really powerful. Do I love it? Do I leave it? Or do I change it? And you have the steering wheel, dear listener, on most situations in your life, right? But there are going to be those situations where you don't love it, but you can't leave it. I know you talk about that. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the first thing that popped into my mind is really that responsibility, like the victim mindset versus the growth mindset. It is so easy to say it's out of my hands. I can't do anything about this, right? And so I always challenge my clients, and I want to challenge your listeners today too. If you feel like you don't love it, but you can't leave it, then ask yourself, what is in your control? What is in your power to actually make some changes around that? It could be as simple, and I'm putting that in
quotes.
In quotes, because we all know it sounds simple, but we know it's not always simple. But it can be as simple as changing your mindset, right? And to say, okay, I actually know that I don't love it and I don't want to leave it, but I need to change something about this situation. So get the power and the control back, because oftentimes that is what's putting us in the highest stress state, because we're like, oh, I really don't really like this. And we're struggling internally and we're spending so much energy. We're expending so much energy on just sitting with these big questions in our head. And so changing it is maybe sitting down and asking yourself, okay, what is outside of my control, right? Two simple journaling questions, but powerful. What is inside of your control and what is outside of your control? Maybe in your control is to let go of talking to 50 different people about how unhappy you are. Because imagine and think about how much time it actually takes to talk with all of these different people.
And it continues to make you sad, right? If you're rehashing exactly why you're miserable to 50 different people.
Right. And it keeps you in that state. It keeps you in that state that you're familiar with, which is why oftentimes we don't change, because we like the familiarity and our brain loves what it's used to. But okay, sometimes we need to sit with that. We can write it down and say, okay, I'm actually consciously making the decision to let that go. And then you can also say to yourself and ask yourself, okay, so what is outside of my control? Maybe outside of your control at the moment is you need that job and there's no other way for you, right? So you accept that that is your current environment, or maybe you're frustrated because your organization just went through another reorg and you've had a new manager again and you need to learn new skills again, right? And maybe all of these things are really frustrating to you. But again, let's focus on the things that are within your sphere of control, because that creates more power for yourself.
I love that. I read a book many years ago that, because we're talking about work, that said it's kind of like having a romantic partner. We expect one person to be the end all be all of our happiness, which isn't correct or right, and a stressful way to think about a relationship. And we tend to think the same thing about our jobs. Our jobs should provide us with purpose and meaning and happiness and growth and all of these things. But the fact of the matter is that for many people, a job provides them a roof over their head, money in their bank account, and health benefits. So thinking about what you can change. If I have to stay in this job, what are other things that bring me joy that I could bring into my life again? Maybe when you were a kid, you were a great violin player. Can you start to play the violin again? Maybe you've always wanted to learn to paint. So you can up-level your happiness with the situation by accepting that you can't change this right now, but you can make choices for the other 16 hours, or I guess the other 8 hours of your waking day, to do things that actually bring you joy.
Yeah, I love that. And it can also be within the job. So maybe ask yourself, what do you enjoy most about your job? Like, bring that back into your awareness, because you probably don't hate everything about your job. Maybe you really enjoy the human interaction. So heavily invest in that and create that environment that you want to be in. So yeah, I love both. I love that you can do things outside of your job, but I think it's also important to remind yourself, hey, what are all the good things about this role? What is something that makes me feel really excited? Maybe even there's something that you can take on within the company that then brings more joy to your life.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's interesting. Julia, last night I had dinner with a friend of mine who's a prominent CEO in Chicago, and we hadn't caught up in a couple of years since COVID. And so when we sat down, I noticed she didn't have a wedding ring on. And so she said, wow, we have a lot to catch up on, that I got divorced during COVID. And she went on to sort of tell me the entire story. But the punchline is, she's happier today than she's ever been. And your three questions would have been so impactful for her. She knew that her marriage was not going to work out in 2008, but she had a five-year-old daughter and said, I only know myself as a married person. How would I get out of this? How would I do this on my own? And so she just continued to exist in her marriage until one day enough was enough in 2019. And she said, I'm done. Got a place for him to move into, put the keys in his lap and said, you gotta go, and started the divorce proceedings. And so she finally made the decision to change it and to leave it. Has subsequently, her career has blossomed. Her love life has blossomed since then. So sitting down, and I know she would say, God, I wish I would have had the courage to say, I could have had all of this 10 years ago. I wasted all that time. So if you can take something out of this, sometimes leaving it or changing it, my friend, is the hard thing. And it can bring up so much fear of, oh my gosh, what if this is a bad choice? What if, and all the mind monkeys start jumping around. But I want to tell you, if you're in a situation like this, take this to heart. Find the meaning in the mess that's presented to you right now. And if you have the power to change it or to leave it, really think about, my gosh, what could my new life look like? And let that inspire you. Don't sit in fear.
Oh, I love that so much. And it's a really powerful self-discovery tool. And I know that you wanted to talk a little bit about self-discovery as well. And what you basically just described is visualization, right? Really connecting with what is actually your dream. I think we don't spend enough time on that anymore. No matter if it is your dream partner, my mom is actually dating at the moment as well. She's 62 years old. She just went through her second divorce and she's been dating for a year. And it's been really interesting to be with her on that journey right from the outside and to kind of give her dating advice and all the different things. And I said to her, Mom, you should sit down and really think about who do you actually want to attract into your life? What kind of qualities does this person have? And how does he look? And what does he do? And all of these different things. Visualization is important. I think it's a little bit a part of manifestation maybe as well, right? But I do this. And again, you can do this in any area of your life. That's why I love this so much. Because sometimes I also talk to people that want a new job and they want a new job, but they have no idea what they want. And I always say, well, let's close our eyes for a second and just dream about what would be the best case scenario. We know that the best case scenario might not always happen, but we can at least dream about it and work towards that. Mm. And yeah, it's a wonderful tool. And I think it's really helpful and powerful for people to sit with that question.
I love that. Like, what do I want?
What do I want? What does your life look like? Who are you in this new life, right? What do you do on a day-to-day basis? How do you move? How do you feel? Who do you surround yourself with? All of these more specific questions can really help you paint the picture of what that life that you're trying to bring in actually looks like.
And how would you suggest, you know, I ask the question all the time, what do you want? Mm-hmm. Right? People mm-hmm. can always readily tell you what they don't want. But mm-hmm. what do you want is a scary mm-hmm. question because it makes you get really specific, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe you haven't sat down because you're constantly, you know, drowning out your inside through mm-hmm. social media and TV and Netflix and friends where you don't actually sit down to reconnect with yourself. So if this resonates with you, I want you to ask yourself with regards to maybe it's a relationship. What do I really want? Who mm-hmm. do I really want? Maybe it's work. What kind of work do I want to be doing? Maybe it's where you're living. Where would I love to live someday? And sit down and ask yourself, and I don't want you to get into the what I don't want. What do you want to really kickstart that process of self-discovery?
Mm-hmm. And it's also interesting to observe what resonates with you, or what, you know, if you do spend time on social media, what do you find attractive? No matter if it is the life or the person, right? But I remember when I went through this big self-discovery journey myself, I would say from 2015 to 2018. And of course it never stops, right? But that was a very big transitional phase for me because I moved from the corporate world into entrepreneurship. And I was commuting between the Bay Area here in Silicon Valley, San Francisco to Tahoe every single week because I wanted to be in Lake Tahoe full time. That was my dream. And it started to become more and more apparent that I wanted to be here. I wanted to be in this place. I wanted to call it home. I wanted to spend time outside every single day and be in the forest and be by the lake. And I was mentioning that at the beginning of our podcast today, and I was listening to this, to a podcast, to a German podcast, actually, from a spiritual coach. And I started to follow her and her journey. And I was thinking to myself, if I could create the life that I want, I would live in Tahoe full time and run my own coaching business, you know? And here I am 5 years later. And I made this dream a reality. And it wasn't that I don't know. It's a very gradual process sometimes, right? It's not like today I'm going to do this and then everything is clear. It took a time to sit with that and to dream it and to slowly kind of move into that direction. It's a beautiful process.
I love that. And are there any other prompts or things that you can tell us besides like, what do I want and what do I manifest? What do I see? Are there any other, you know, clear prompts that you have that could really grease the wheels for us to start to self-discover in a more productive way?
Yeah. I just recently did a YouTube video on how to start your self-discovery journey. And as we are chatting, Bella, I'm actually pulling up my notes from that podcast episode and from that video, because I do want to share some more specific questions, and I know I have them. So
this is real stuff, you guys. We're not editing this, right? We're all looking.
We're not
at
editing
notes.
This exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all looking for our notes, but, you know, get your notebooks out, ladies and gentlemen,
exactly.
Because she's going to drop some gems on you that I think, even if you feel pretty happy with where you are in a variety of aspects, I think everybody has that one or two pie pieces that we're working on where these prompts can really start to help you.
Yes. All right. So here they are. So when you're starting your self-discovery journey, you can also ask yourself, and again, you might think, oh, this is a simple question, but let's really sit it with these questions. You can ask yourself, what do I read? What do I listen to? Who do I surround myself with? What do I do on a daily basis? So four simple questions: what do I read? What do I listen to? Who do I surround myself with? And what do I do on a daily basis? Because these four things can give you some really powerful insights into what do you do right now? And is that aligned with the life that you want to have in the future, that you're dreaming about, that you're visualizing, or is it not really aligned? And so I always like to go, we can visualize and dream, but it's also powerful to go from a set point of, from a status quo of, okay, where am I at right now? Am I happy with that? Am I already investing the time in the people and places and habits and routines that I'm actually really excited about and that I know will make me a better person, or do I not? And so it's kind of an honest conversation with yourself to say, okay, what's going on right now?
I love that. So is it an alignment, right? Because if your goals mm-hmm. and your dreams are, you know, way big, for example, mm-hmm. you know, let's say your goal is to feel better in your body and to be healthier. But then when you sit down and do an inventory of yourself, like, what do I read, listen to, who do I surround myself with, and what do I do on a daily basis? If it's, you know, I drive my car into a fast food stop twice a day, I find myself, you know, polishing off a bottle of wine by myself. Like, are these things that are in alignment with you feeling good in your body? And maybe that's not a goal for you, but really taking an honest inventory mm-hmm. of what you're doing, listening to, surrounding yourself with, and who are your friends will really help you to go, wow, maybe this is why I feel unhappy or unsatisfied or discontented with what I'm doing, because it's totally out of alignment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I have more if you want.
Sure.
All right, so let's talk about visualization again, right? We talked about visualization. We talked about dreams and visualizing the life that you want. So here are some specific journaling prompts for that. What are your dreams and what are your goals? And the third question for those two specific questions for me is the most powerful one, because the next one is, how does it make you feel when you mm-hmm. think about these?
I love
that. So powerful. So what are your dreams? What are your goals? How does it make you feel when you think about these? And then in order to maybe you don't really know what you should dream about, because sometimes, right, we are in that state of, I'm not really happy, but I also don't really know what I want. So if you are in that space, you can also ask yourself, well, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? And what are you interested in? What lights you on fire? And it can be different from, you know, I think back to my late 20s or early 30s. And then every one or two years, I started to shift into a different area that I was interested in, right? It was yoga for 2 years, and it was really coaching for 2 years. And it was you know, mountain biking maybe for 2 years, right? So there's like different shifts of things that really brought me joy. And that's okay as well. It's not like you're making a decision and it has to be the decision that you have made for the rest of your life, but it's okay to reinvent yourself and to find new ways that bring you joy.
Yeah. It's okay to have a right now plan. Right. Mm-hmm. Right now, I would like to live in Lake Tahoe. That doesn't mean that you're handcuffed to Tahoe forever. Totally. You made the move. And what that does is it builds your confidence muscle. It's saying, okay, mm-hmm. if I got to Tahoe and that was my dream, and maybe someday you'll say, you know, I'd really like to get back to Dublin, right? That you know you could build a bridge for yourself to get back there again. So mm-hmm. I love this. And let's, you know, talk a little bit. I love your work around self-love and self-care. Mm-hmm. And I love one of the things that you started with, and I'm going straight from memory, is, well, why don't we start with defining what you feel self-love is? We all talk about loving ourselves, right? And at the end of the day, I like myself. I don't love everything about myself. You know, mm-hmm. singles will ask me all the time, well, Bella, how do I know if I'm ready to date, if I'm supposed to love myself first? Do I or don't mm-hmm. I? So let's go with your definition of self-love and then how we can love ourselves better.
Okay. I love this question and you're going to love the answer, I hope. But I do want to start actually the answer with a little story. So in 2020, my at that time fiance cheated on me and we decided to break up. It was already the second time he had done it. And
I'm going to go find him. Don't worry, Julia. Okay, go ahead.
And it brought me into a spiral. It was a really powerful time for me, a very painful time, big heartbreak. We had just gotten a dog together. We just moved into a beautiful house together. And 6 months later, all of these things happened. And so it put me in a very healing space for a long period of time. I'd say a year and a half, 2 years until I felt like I was myself again. But through that heartbreak, I think the biggest realization was that I wasn't really loving myself. Or right when things like that happen to you, you ask yourself all of the big questions, right? Like, why was I not loved? Why did this happen to me? Am I not worthy of love? You know, you lose your self-confidence, you lose your self-love. And so in that time, I had to really learn to love myself and to do the things that are good for me, because I was very badly heartbroken and sad, and it was very difficult to navigate through. So every day, right? Because when they say when you go through a heartbreak, it's harder, you know, even though you know you might be better in 6 to 12 months, you still have to go through day by day at the beginning of the pain when you're going through it. So every day I woke up and I asked myself the question, what do I need right now to feel just 1% better? And it was so difficult at the beginning, right? Because you get used to being alone again and to build a life again and all of the things, right? And so, and some days I had good days and some days I had very heavy days, right? Very emotional days. And that was for me really the start of a beautiful self-loving journey of really listening to what do I need right now. And at the beginning, I think when we are practicing that, or when we're starting to build maybe more of a self-love muscle, we might not even have an answer. We might not even know what the answer is to what do I need right now, right? Maybe the answer is I need a hug, or maybe the answer is I want to be with this person again.
Right, right, right.
It was kind of that safe space, right? In the comfort space. And so for me, self-love is still very different from self-care, because I think you can do things for yourself, but it might not really translate into loving yourself. And I think for me, self-love goes a lot deeper into how do you talk to yourself? Mm-hmm. How do you listen to really your needs, right? Like we all know, and I work with a lot of high achievers and peak performers. We can push ourselves hard, right? We are not really honest with ourselves. We push ourselves to work super hard, or we push ourselves to work out super hard, right? And it's not really aligned with what I really my soul kind of needs. And so self-love is a deep practice of listening to your needs and giving yourself what you need first before you're giving it to anyone else. And I truly do believe that the more love you have for yourself, you can love anyone in a way, right? I think you probably talk about this as well, Bella, do you?
Yeah, for sure. And sometimes loving yourself is in the way of treatment that you will and won't accept from others again, right?
Totally.
And having those kind of boundaries where you know I am better off loving myself and being enveloped in the love of my friends, my family, than to be with a romantic partner who doesn't love me or treat me well. It's better to be without that person. But I know sometimes we get into that state where we get addicted to that kind of love, and mm-hmm. we don't even, mm-hmm. and because we haven't said, who am I? What does love feel like to me? And right. we're like a black hole, and this person can do whatever shit they want to do, mm-hmm. and we'll take it because mm-hmm. we're afraid what happens when that love is gone. But what we start to see when we go through that painful healing process, that wasn't love at all.
Right. So true. And that was, I think, that healing process that I had to go through myself in that self-love practice of forgiving myself too, of staying in a relationship sure. that already had very clear signals of not being actually healthy love. But like you said, like we're getting addicted, or we're making ourselves dependent on a person. And it's, I understand how difficult it is to break that pattern. And at the same time, it's the best thing you can do for yourself ever. Because once you have that self-confidence and you have healed within yourself, you can show up so differently in another relationship or in a new relationship.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's our superpower at helping people navigate from that to make sure that they don't get caught in the spiral of what feels comfortable all mm-hmm. over again, and looking for that addiction kind of love, right? And we become codependent on that. So that's totally the realm that we're holding our clients' hands one by one and helping them navigate that process. Now, back to self-love, I mm-hmm. watched one of your videos and I love something that you talk about with regards to self-love. It's so, it's profound, and we don't do this. And you say, make a list of the things that you love about yourself. Mm. Can you talk a little bit about your process?
Yeah. I think this is one of the first, right? It's similar to the visualization piece of like, what are you dreaming about? Or like the inventory checklist, right? So first of all, we need to reconnect with ourselves. And so when you are maybe listening to this podcast today and you think, oh, yeah, definitely resonates with me, I'm not really practicing self-love, I don't even really know where to start, it is a really good place to start with just, well, what do you love about yourself? And maybe what are you unhappy with, right? And trust me, every single person has things that they love about themselves and things that they're not so happy with, right? You can look at the most beautiful supermodel and they will have things they can put in both of these categories. And so first of all, it's a beautiful practice to celebrate yourself a little bit and to sit with that knowledge and that insight. And then it might also be a really good indicator of, okay, what is it that you can still work on, right? So if maybe, for example, something comes up where you're like, oh, I would really like to feel healthier. Well, what is one step in that direction that you can take in order to practice that self-love, right? Because investing in yourself is always, it's so priceless. I just invested in a business coach this summer, and it blew my mind again of, you know, how much when you invest in yourself, you learn about yourself and you grow, and it's all a self-love practice and it's a growth practice. And the more you learn and understand yourself, that's why I love personal development so much. But it's so powerful. I always say to my clients, the most powerful thing you can do is invest in yourself. When you love yourself, you have self-confidence. And when you're self-confident, you can conquer the world, because you don't have to be perfect at anything that you know, right? Or you have to go into the job interview with the perfect answers. But when you are self-confident and you know who you are, and you can also laugh about your imperfections and say, well, maybe I didn't know this answer, or maybe, you know, for me as a German in an English speaking country, I don't always find the perfect words sometimes, right? But I can laugh about this, and I couldn't always laugh about this. But that confidence makes you attract people. And it's a very, very powerful energy that once you've kind of found the secret and the key to that, it will never go away again.
I love that. Yeah, you're so right. You're so right. And you're right. It fuels confidence. So if you first make this list of the things that you love about yourself. Okay. So now we're staring at this list. What do we mm-hmm. do next?
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I think you should celebrate yourself. And I think honestly, self-love is an ongoing lifelong journey, you know? And that list might change over time. So yeah. Now that you have that list in front of you, that is your list. That's your inventory. That's who you are, you know, and maybe you want to put more emphasis on the things that you love about yourself as well, right? So maybe like do something that's good for you. I don't think that there's necessarily like a next action item of like, okay, once I have this list of things, now that there's something specific that I need to do, you can pin it on the wall if you want.
Yeah,
you can
yeah.
pin it on your fridge, you know, have it somewhere where you can see that on a regular basis and where you can celebrate that. I always say this because I know that when you hear these things for the first time, maybe you might think, oh, this sounds kind of silly to put that list on the wall or put it on the fridge, but it has so much power. Like these positive insights and having a more positive outlook on yourself rather than constantly thinking about the bad things, because we all know that we are critical enough and we have enough self-talk, negative self-talk oftentimes about the things that we don't love about ourselves. So why not celebrate the other side and bring that more into our consciousness? Because our brain is wired to think negatively,
yeah,
and to have a
survival.
A survival bias. And so your brain will always show you the negative things anyway. So why not train your brain and the muscle, because your brain at the end of the day is a muscle as well, to think more positively?
That's right. And I love this. You guys, listen to this. I want you to sit down with paper and pen, and I want you to make a list. Put some good music on. Pour yourself a cup of tea or a glass of wine or whatever is your jam, and sit down and make a list of all of the things that you love about yourself. Okay. And I want you, especially you smart daters or people that are out there in the dating world, really to look at this list, like Julia is saying, on a daily basis, because these are your assets and these are the things that you love about yourself. And if someone doesn't appreciate those and ask you out for another date, who cares? Bless and release them ultimately, because you are a rock star and you've got a whole lot of good stuff going on. And sometimes to flip away from the, oh my gosh, why didn't this person want to see me again? To hell with that. Look back at your list of all of the things that are amazing about yourself and put that love and that self-confidence back in your step, so you have the courage to maybe keep swiping on the apps, creating your dating board of directors, asking people for setups, being engaging with people, looking at people, smiling when you're in airports and wherever you are. But really, and the root of that comes from believing that you are worthy And you 100% are. So I can't wait to see your lists of what you guys come up with. And certainly send us your lists at Smart Dating Academy. We want to celebrate you. And when I get your lists, I'll share them in my Instagram stories. I want you to really think about the things that you love about yourself. And maybe it's compliments that you get from other people. Like people always tell me I look super chic or whatever that is. And write down the positive attributes and be able to fight the negativity and going to the dark side by looking at that list and keeping it in your handbag, put it on your car dashboard, put it on your bathroom mirror. I don't care, but I want you to look at it every single day.
Yeah, that's powerful. Or you can write the list with a lipstick on your mirror.
Oh, girl, you are singing. I tell my clients, we have a philosophy called psychotic optimism at Smart Dating Academy. And so one day I was on Instagram Live and I was on fire and I was like, I want you all to be in your most psychotically optimistic state. And our motto is love will come to me. It's a when, it's not an if. Right? Mm-hmm. It's coming. We just have to believe that it's out there. And I'm like, put a post-it note on your computer, write it with red lipstick on your mirror. And if you do it, send it to me. People were sending me photos. Love will come to me. It's a when, it's not if, on their bathroom mirrors. It elated me beyond my short 5'3" stature.
It's super powerful. I had an affirmation on my mirror when I was going through my heartbreak. I'm trying to remember what it was. It was something around I'm worthy of love. And it's cool because, again, when you really practice these things and you actually realize how often you go to the bathroom to go pee during the day, especially if you're working from home, you see this every single time. And it is really this like subconscious thing that is starting to trickle into your brain to be like, yeah, I am worthy of love and love will find you. You know, it's just a matter of when it will happen.
Absolutely. So, you know, truth be told, I haven't put a list together of the things that I like about myself, and it almost makes me blush as I think about that. But I'm going to do this when I get off this podcast with you while it's in my mind.
Okay, I love that. Well, tag us on Instagram story and we'll share it. And hopefully more people will join in.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that idea. And, you know, Julia, any other gems that you want to drop on the Smart Dating Academy audience?
Well, I think one last thing that's been a little bit on my mind is one thing around self-confidence, which is oftentimes, especially when we are feeling stressed, no matter where the stress comes from, if it is from work or from not feeling super worthy or from going on dates and not really finding the right partner, and that puts you in this kind of negative self-talk spiral, we experience higher levels of stress. And, you know, stress is kind of my jam and stress is like my passion. I love to talk about it and I'm very passionate about the neuroscience of it all. And one of the biggest realizations that I've had on my, with myself, and then of course with a lot of people that I've worked with, is that the higher stress levels we have, the more in a stress state we are, the more we look to our external world to validate us and to recognize us and to make us feel better. And it goes back to everything that we talked about today, Bella, but I do want to make this very, very clear that it is normal that we do that, unfortunately, that we do kind of start to look at the external world to validate us, no matter if it is our partner or our family or our manager or our friends. And so you have the power, and it goes back, you know, this is kind of closing the circle today. It's going back to having a growth mindset and reminding yourself that you have the power to take that power back. By simply creating awareness that, oh, this is what's happening right now. I am actually looking everywhere but inside of me to get love. Why do you do that? Because once you love yourself, that confidence, that it will speak volumes for itself, you know, and then it's so much, such a much more powerful space to visualize from, to manifest from, to dream from, right? So if you find yourself in that state, if you do feel like, oh yeah, I'm doing that right now, here's your powerful reminder that create awareness around that, stop that behavior, bring it back to yourself, write a list of the things that you love about yourself, pin it on your mirror, and then practice that. Because the more you can stand in your own power, the more other people will see that within you as well.
I love that so much. And Julie, you told me before the call that you have a planner. Like, tell us, is this like encompassing all of the things that you are prompting people to do, or tell us what we should do? Should we get the planner?
So I'll show you the Peak Performance Planner. It looks like this. It comes actually in turquoise and in white. So there's two different color options. So you can get it on Amazon. And I created the planner because I am a planner and I love planning and I love journaling. I talk about that all the time for self-discovery and self-development and growth. And I feel like I started this business and in my head, I was like, I need to create a planner. And so the Peak Performance Planner is to create awareness and to build new habits. It is centered, and this is not really focused on work as such. It's really more about yourself, about where you're at, who you are, and what you're currently doing on a day-to-day basis that makes you happy and what maybe leads to you not being so happy. So there's actually, it's with journaling prompts. So there is a daily, weekly, and monthly reflection. There are reflection pages. So I can show it to you, Bella, because I know that you said that you were curious about it too. So there's the daily planner. Looks like this.
Okay, guys, for those of you listening to this in your car, there's lots of words in this planner and lots of blank spaces for you to write things down,
exactly,
which looks really amazing. And I need to get better at journaling. I'm really good when I journal. So your planner looks like something I'm going to invest in.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it has the daily planner. It has always journaling prompts for the morning and then for the evening. And then for the week, it's the same idea where you reflect the whole week and then you plan for the week. And then we have the same for the month as well. One of the most powerful things I've done in my life in this self-discovery journey was to journal. Because I think when you really reflect on yourself and you sit with these questions, you don't just listen to a podcast, which is great. That's the first step. But then you get these prompts that we shared with you today. And then you really sit down and you take 5 to 10 minutes and you invest that time in yourself. You practice that self-love in a way, right? Because those insights will really help you to decide on what is the next step. And I love kind of building these muscles and this awareness, because that action will help you to become a better person.
I love that. And is it a year planner or a month? What is it?
6 months.
6 months. Okay.
Yeah, 6 months.
All right, you guys, I'll put a link to the Peak Performance Planner in the show notes and we can, get to our peak performance and support Julia and her planner. So Julia, you've been amazing. I'm so glad we're connected. I consider you a new friend and I hope to see you when you're in Chicago.
Yeah, I would love that. Let's make it happen.
All right. Well, thank you again. And Smart Daters, for those of you who have been immersed in this episode, can I love it, leave it, or change it, right? If you're not in love with your dating life, if you have nothing to leave because you're sitting out there single and you want to change something, think about what you can do this week to change something in your dating life, to change yourself for the better, right? And to know that you have the power inside of you to take your power back, like we talked about today. So with that, I bid you farewell until next week. Have a beautiful week filled with psychotic optimism and extra points. If you write, love will come to me, it's a when, not an if, and lipstick on your mirror, send it and I will share it all over the planet. All right. Talk to y'all later. See ya. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.